You're listening to the New Community Podcast of Palm Valley Church. We hope that this message encourages you in your walk with Christ.
Well, tonight we got a super special guest with us. He's a friend of our church. If you were here Sunday, you heard Rick tell part of his story, Mirek Kulik from Poland. And Rick shared a piece of his story of how he came to know Christ. It's powerful. But he loves Jesus down to his toes. His family loves Jesus. He's a pastor at heart. He's a hobby scholar. He loves just digging into Scripture. But tonight he's going to be sharing with you and I God's Word. And I believe God's going to challenge each of us. And so in a few moments.
Good evening. God bless you. What a privilege to be here in this church full of joy and Holy Spirit and love. You're wonderful. Oh. What a privilege. Greetings from Poland. Greetings for our churches. And, you know, before I share the word of God, before I share what the Lord put on my heart for you, I want to say something. Tonight, when I listen to the worship team, I listen to songs. Some of them I know, some not. But I realize again that, and just kind of they remind me that again that we wait for Jesus. He's coming. That's what church is about. We wait for Jesus, you know. And hallelujah. And you know, not long ago, I have to once in a while go to doctor because I used to have some struggle with health. And sometime he put me, I'm not the doctors. So I don't know how they call all this equipment. But you know, they call this in Europe, they call this AKG and check your heart, you know. And when he installed all these strange pipes and everything on me, I wait, I lay down, he say, now just relax. And things beaming, 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 and he's looking on the screen and he's able to say something about my heart. And last time he say, it's good. So I'm glad. But you know, I thought, what if every pastor have in his office such machinery or such equipment? And he can connect any Christian, and somehow this time it will show not the condition of our physical heart, the cardio, but of the condition of our spiritual heart. And the beeping supposed to be, come Lord Jesus, come Lord Jesus, come Lord Jesus. That's what they say, the bride, you know, come Lord Jesus, come. So it's so good to learn how to be a follower of Jesus. From Wednesday to Sunday, you probably know, maybe some of you saw kind of a loud of group of Polish people walking around everywhere. I'm sorry, they are my people from my church. And you know, it was a group of leaders and even a senior pastor and some worship leaders, some Sunday school leaders with me. And let me tell you, we believe, or actually I personally believe, and that's why I bring them. This was the third time when I bring leaders here, because your pastor blessed me with his time and with his teaching, and all this church blessed me with the teaching time and hospitality. You know, everywhere we go in your church, you're so friendly. We just want to know how you do this. We need to learn this, you know. So I believe that your church is something they must see. And often maybe you wonder, where is Pastor Rick? He's again gone. And I won't tell you, sometime he's in our churches in Poland. And he work hard. We give him hard time, tons of questions. And he's so great blessing for our churches, and I know, and all this happened because you let him go there. You let him go to Poland, to Africa, to other places with your blessing, prayers, and support. So thank you so much. I am one of these many people on the overseas who take this blessing from you. When my team visiting your church recently, you know, I'm afraid that your love and hospitality and the way the Pastor Gerald, Pastor Rick and other teach our group, you are guilty of the potential revolution in my church. So if I lost my job, I'll come here. You know, your pastors and leaders spend time with us, teach us, and well, I don't know how to say thank you to you. Be blessed. If you have a Bible or open on Luke 7, I know we have this also on the screen. I want to share my heart with you about some story in the Bible, about something what happened between me and Jesus, between you and Jesus, because he loves us and he always waits for us. It's kind of a story you know very well from maybe even from Sunday school. It's a nice story. And every Bible for kids have this story. We know the story very well. But let me go today to just kind of from go to the story from the other side, I would say. Let's read the first two verses of Luke 7. I mean, second and third verse of Luke 7. And I apologize for my English. I know you read better, so you see behind me. A centurion servant who was highly valued by him was sick and about to die. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, requesting him to come and save the life of his servant. You know what touched me when I read this story? When I read this story, it touched me. Come and save the life. Come and save a life. That's what Jesus is doing. But you know, they come with kind of strange attitude. Come and save the life. Luke tells us that he asked for healing for the slave. That's what Gospel of Luke tells us. You know, Matthew, for example, the Gospel of Matthew at this point is say a boy. John, for example, is talking about the son here. And I thought it's strange. Servant, boy, son, and all is the same person. I think the Holy Spirit won't teach us something about how we look or our neighbor, our brother and sister. This is a lesson in how to look on your neighbor. This slave was, Bible says, this slave was highly valued. But it's not a story about the money. If it was all about money, the centurion, the guy can go alone and say, hey, Jesus, I have an expensive servant. Do it something. But no, that was nothing about money. The rest of the story tells us that this man was the giver. He was giving. He was not greedy. He shared his position, his money, his gold, you know, he built a synagogue. He was not someone who was looking for Jesus just to tell him, hey, Jesus, help me save some money. Later, actually, the Holy Spirit or Jesus with his word revealed us that this man was a good man. But he was good, not for the same reason as Jewish people thought he is good. He gave. For the money he gave, because the Bible told us that he built synagogue. For the money he gave to build the synagogue, I won't tell you, you don't have to be a historian to know that the synagogue, to build the building that time, cost much more than just one slave. Even if this is expensive and educated slave. For this money, you can build more than another, you can buy more than another slave. It's not about money. It's about what he heard about Jesus. And listen, I believe that Holy Spirit will tell you something. Even I know with my broken English, I believe he will whisper in pure English to your heart today. In those days, you know, let me put it this way. Centurion was a good man because a slave is a thing. You know what I mean? The slave was like a refrigerator or TV or furniture. You don't want anymore? You can kill, you can sell. It's a thing, but not for him. Well, for example, when a slave gets sick, the slave disease was not a problem for many masters. They just take a slave and kill him to protect the other slaves. They don't want to lose any money. And this kind of first lesson come here, that the caring and love for people is the same. It's easy to change people. It's easy to say, well, I give up on him. Oh, I give up on this one. I don't care about that one. Last Sunday, my great friend and your pastor, Pastor Rick, share a little bit of part of a testimony from my family. And today, many people call me pastor in Poland. But long, long time ago, when I was just a boy and a slave to sin, a son of a father who died, my grandfather came and shared the gospel. And he was fighting in prayer. He was the prayer warrior. In 4 years, I hate him. I call him with all kinds of names. I use especially dirty and strong words to make him angry. And he never disappointed. He never gave up. And finally, when I fall on my knees and I give my life to Jesus, and Pastor told you about this, kind of how we meet again after I get saved, he told me these important words. Son, I pray, I calling to Jesus for your life, for your salvation. Through all these four, almost 5 years, I want to see that finally in the Kulec family, somebody will go to the ministry. He don't give up on me. You understand what I mean? So maybe you're a mom, you're a father, you're a neighbor, you parent to a brother or sister to somebody who looks so hopeless. Let's send message to Jesus. We call this message a prayer. And listen to what this more we can find here in the Bible. You know, it's easy, like I say, to say, oh, I give up on that one. I give up on that one. But like I say, my grandfather never give up on me. You're never going to give up on your wife, husband, brother, sister, son, or daughter, neighbor, right? Amen? We not give up. We're not going to give up. We will pray. And you know, it's interesting that for devil, people are like things. He called them like things. He called them like drunkard, drug addict, alcoholic, thief, bandit. But God calls us on a name. We are sons. We are children. He calls us on a name. He don't use this like, you know. I remember when I was when I first get saved, you know, I not heard a voice from heaven. Hey, a young rebel. You know, you can't believe I come to church with cigarette in one my hand and a beer in the other on the bike, on the motorcycle. That's kind of feel like, you know, 16 years old, I know everything. And with time now, I know less and less and less. And, you know, but Jesus called me by name and he called you by name. So Jewish people went to Jesus. When they reached Jesus, the verse 4, Jesus, when they reached Jesus, they pleaded with him earnestly, saying, he is worthy for you to grant this because he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. That's a good guy, right? Can you imagine if just one person built you a building? Jewish people give a list of a good deeds. And you know what? That was true. That was really true. This guy was a great man. And look what happened. Jesus went, verse 6. Jesus went with them and he went with them. I'm surprised. But listen, and when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to tell him, Lord, don't trouble yourself, since I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. That is why I didn't even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under my command. I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. He knows something. We can learn from him. Jesus went with them. Do we think he went because he recognized something like, wow, if what they say is true, he's a good guy. Maybe he can build the other synagogue. Or maybe more synagogues. Let's go see what I can do for him. No, we know it's not true. Because if Jesus come only to people who are worthy to help, what about you and me then? I'm surely I was not the good material for Christian, you know. That God doesn't make a great business to saving me. I never heard the voice from heaven, Mirek, I'm so glad you saved. I need somebody like you. Now church will be stronger or better. No. Jesus was not impressed by what they say. He not asking them, oh, he built a synagogue? Does he help Jewish people? Wow. Give me his address and cell phone number. I will contact him. What a good man. Maybe he even teach in that synagogue that the centurion built. Maybe. But there was no reaction. So they don't know what Jesus is thinking. Then centurion sends Jesus another information, like another text message, we would say today. He sits at home and I can imagine the centurion. He's so humble, sitting at home, and now he's feeling like, wow, Lord is coming. Oh God, look this mess around. I'm not worthy. So he sent the message again. Lord, I'm not worthy. And do you see something? They say he is worthy. He say he is not worthy. When they say he is worthy and they give whole list how good he is, Jesus don't say anything. He went with them. But when he say, I'm not worthy, Jesus comment this word. He say something. Jesus heard this and was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, I'm tell you, I have not found so great a faith even in Israel. Jesus was silent until this moment, but now he speaks. He delights, the delight's reaction was to his faith. And Jesus, I'm not worthy. From that day, I believe, let's become the content of many prayers. When I used to be before a prison chaplain, I heard it so many times when the prison, the real gangster, real bandits, criminals, come with broken heart, and always they have the song says, Jesus, I'm not worthy. They never build anything. They're robbing people all their life. But it's something that God react. Look at this. Achievement did not work, not impressed God, It impressed people. But knowing God, knowing his heart, work impressed God, Look, men can build large houses. Have you been in New York? Just about a month ago, I preached there for the Polish churches. This is the end of my trip. When I come here, I come just like a visitor to visit all the Polish churches, talk with pastors, leaders, preaching to them, just helping them. And this is the end of my trip here. So I was in New York. The buildings are huge, beautiful. You know, the men will stand and say, wow, what the building. So men can build large houses, skyscrapers, modern vehicles, beautiful things. And all people would say, wow, it's wonderful. Oh, the man is so wise. But you know something about God? He's silent. We never heard the voice from heaven say, wow, what the beautiful building. Well, actually, in the Bible, they try to build something, but God doesn't like this. God is silent. Heaven is silent. But when in the dark world, one sinner give life to God and say, God, I'm not worthy. Come to me and help me. Oh, you know what? The heaven explode with the joy. The God explode with the joy, you know. It just, they laughing, they celebrating, you know. And then the world is quiet or growling, but the heavens celebrate. We can see this difference, you know. Then when those who had been sent returned, the verse 10, to the house, they found the servant in the good health. He could talk to his slaves and soldiers. And you know what he told them? Stand up and go. And they have to listen. But he understands that here, he come to the place that maybe you are today. He came to the place that he could not speak, stand up, do not die. But the servant cannot listen to him. Hey, I told you, do not die. But he have no power. Have you been in this place as the parent, as a husband, wife? When you won't say something. When your children are doing the things that hurt your heart, when your husband or wife is going a different direction, maybe your father, mother, or somebody who you really love is going a different direction, and you have no power to say, stop and come to Jesus, or stop and be better. Maybe it's the sickness. I am the proof that even very strong sickness can be healed by Jesus when he comes. Amen. He know he cannot say this, but you know what he know also, a centurion? Just say the word. Just say a word. He asked God for a word, because there is no word from man that can stop the crisis. And maybe you will face something that the man cannot say nothing to stop this. But God know what to say. He asked God for word. And you know what is interesting? The Gospel of Luke does not even talk about the answer to the centurion. You know, in the Matthew or John, we have this answer like, you know, go, your son is alive. Or something like that. Luke kind of tried to put our attention, our focus on the different things. As if Luke is teaching us, kind of, I have the feeling like he won't tell us, he doesn't even have to say anything. And man is alive. Because if Jesus is coming, if Jesus is visiting you, if he is leading you, if he is working through your prayers, and he is close to you, he's not just far away from us. We know that with our prayers and ministry, we can bring Jesus to any dark place in this world. Amen? And he's, you know, co-working with us, or we co-working with him. So we have two options. You can stay in the shadow of his wings. I love when psalmist says, stay, you know, delayed in the shadow of his wings. Or we can look on our own shadow. This is my shadow. No, it's somebody else. It's the fat guy here. I can look on my shadow. But you know what? It doesn't help. I won't be in his shadow. I won't stay in his shadow. On the end, I want to say my personal testimony and story. All you know the story, the disciples on the boat. We're not going to read this. You know very well the story. It was storm, and of course, Jesus came and wind. We know that. But it was something personal indeed. I shared this before maybe with some of you. You know, over two years ago, we enter in the terrible storm in our life. I was kind of like, I don't know what to do. The situation was too hard to understand. I have to just trust Lord, believing that He will know what to do. And one day I pray and I start to just read the Bible about, you know, all these disciples on the boat. And suddenly a storm is coming, you know, they're afraid. You understand that Jesus told them to go to the other side, and in the deep night, in the storm, they see Jesus walking on the water. And this is kind of my story. It was 2 years ago. I went into the storm, and probably some of you are in the storm today, and there. Actually, they are where Jesus wants them to be. If we ask, hey, you're on the storm, your life is in a danger. Are you in a place when God wants you to be? Yes, He told us to go. But here He walked on the water. And the Bible, the Word. Remember what I told you before? Lord, say a word. Lord God, say a word. And He gave me a word that raise me up and give me a victory over my storm. Lord, if it's you, say Peter, let me come to you on the water. Do you see something? Kind of he was looking on Jesus, and logically he's supposed to say, Lord, if this is you, calm down the storm, please. You can do it. But he don't say this. Kind of like he forget about the storm. Lord, if this is you, in the middle of the storm, let me walk on the water to you. Let me come to you on the water. Sometime you have to meet God in your weakness and storm. And that's what makes us stronger than before, because we get the word. So, you know, I stopped to asking God, God, send miracle. God, change my situation. God, please, you know, I was pure in my heart when I make this decision. Lord, blah, blah, blah. I just stop. I just feel like this is the answer. Lord, let me come to you on the water. And you know how the stories end. The story is about the Peter walked on the water twice. First, he walked to Jesus. Then he walked with Jesus back to the boat. And the storm was stopped, and they get to the other side. That's what He wants you. He wants you to have the personal miracle. He is the answer. Call Jesus. I'm not worthy. But Jesus knows who is worthy. He is worthy, and He will take victory in your life. Amen. Thank you for your patience, Palm Valley. I know you have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. I know you have so many great preachers, you know, so what a privilege to talk to you. God bless you, friends. Amen.
That's good. That's good. Merrick started the message and he said, I believe that God is going to speak to you. He actually said He's going to whisper to you in perfect English or Spanish or sign language or whatever. But He's going to speak to us. Whether it's in the storm and you're going through a difficult time, whether there's somebody in your house, a loved one, that's just going sideways, whether you have a friend or a neighbor or a coworker that doesn't know Jesus, the answer is the same. God, we need you. We're unworthy and we're unfit, but you can say the word. And often Jesus would say this after He got through teaching, let the one who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so what if we just ended our time with praying that prayer, that each of us are in a situation that we need God to speak. And so God, that's our prayer. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this story. We thank you for this example. For those of us that have loved ones, for those of us who are going through something ourselves, from those of us, God, when everything is going awesome, all of us need a word today, for you're leading us today and into tomorrow. So may you give us ears to hear. God, help us to hear your word in scripture. Help us to lean in and read and let those words speak to us. Help us to be silent and listen to that voice that whispers deep within your spirit. Let us hear, let us perceive, and then let us do what you say, God. At your word, may it be done, but when you speak, may it also be done in our lives and through our lives. And everyone said, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless. We'll see you this weekend.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Don't miss out on next week's teaching. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and keep up to date with what's happening at palmvalleychurch.com.